and you.
Okie doke.
The experience will be here.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
First of all, we're introducing Al Roker. You all know him as the lovable and beloved weatherman on Today Show, but many, many other facets to his life. I was watching today on the Today Show making this gross concoction for some kind of Fear Factor thing.
Yes, it was a tasty combination of seafood surprise, all kinds of gross seafood stuff, mystery meat, including spleen and lips of something and some other stuff, chunky sour milk, and the extra added ingredient, kind of a Chex party mix of insects, grubs, grasshoppers, and weevils.
Yeah, it must have
been
really
good. And then it
all
got blended together and
Yeah. Now, did you actually drink that?
I didn't drink it. I gave it to the two Fear Factor Live hosts. It's a new kind of like show at Universal Studios Hollywood and Orlando.
Mm.
And so I gave it to the hosts. Although I did try some of the grubs, and they're kind of like toasted. And believe it or not, they taste kind of like eating soy nuts.
I thought you were going to say they taste like chicken. I was going to say, okay,
they were kind of crunchy. And if you season them a little bit, I think they would actually be a pretty neat little party snack.
Mm. Now, you've been a meteorologist for many years. What do you take of all this these hurricanes, these early hurricanes that are coming up here?
Well, it's up to much smarter people than me to figure out why, but it was obvious from last year that it was an unusual hurricane season, and all the factors that were in effect last year seemed to be more so this year, and so everybody was expecting this, so that it's not a surprise. It's just, five named storms this early has never happened before.
Yeah, it's really strange, and there's no explanation, I guess. But
well, there are a number of conflicting theories, but the fact is that doesn't help anybody who's in the path of one of these storms.
Exactly. I love Florida, but I don't think I'd want to be there at this point with all these things going on, and the Cayman Islands and all these wonderful places are getting hit pretty hard.
Right. Yeah.
Not fun. You and I have something in common. You actually host the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I host the Stoughton, Massachusetts July 4th Parade. So,
It's an honor. There you go.
Now, you have so many things going on, I don't even know what to talk about first, but let's talk about the production company you have, Al Roker Productions.
Yes.
And a TV show, which I think is a cool idea, because... first of all, what gave you the idea of kind of getting into the moving business, of checking out the moving business and watching that?
Well, so much of television is, you kind of work backwards from a concept. And I mean this sincerely, I literally woke up at 2 in the morning one morning and thought of the title, Make Your Move. And I don't know why, and it just was there. And then I thought, okay, what kind of show can I do with that title? And
could have been a dating show too.
Yeah, exactly. and I did think of that. And then I thought, what about a moving show? Nobody's done a reality moving show. And so I thought, it would be. I think moving is one of those things that we go through in life, and nobody likes to do it. And what if we could find an interesting moving company? And profile them and the people they move. And one of the people who works for me, a brilliant young woman named Katie Abel, who lives in Boston, the Boston area, and has worked in Boston television and radio.
Yeah, I know her, actually.
And said, hey, I know of this really great moving company called Gentle Giants here in Boston, and they're a really interesting moving company. A lot of the movers are college students. They've got some women on the staff who are movers, and they're just an eclectic bunch of people, and they're very interesting. And so much of television is about characters and interesting people. And what I really wanted to do, what we try to do at my production company, we've been offered a chance to do some of the more salacious, sleazier reality television, and I've just turned it down. I could have made a lot more money doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to do stuff that's somewhat uplifting and positive, and you can enjoy, and the entire family can watch. And that's this show. It's a 10-part series. It starts tonight, 9 o'clock on Discovery Home.
It'll be on every Thursday at 9,
Thursday for the next 10 weeks. and it's a look at somebody's move, and not just the move, the people who are being moved, but the people who move them. And some of the, you know, we don't, you know, I mean, I think there's so much drama in everyday life. And just, what are you going to take? What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to do? What are the, you know, why are you moving? And then the people who are, the lives of the people who are doing the moving for you, what goes through their minds, and what do they think of the people who are there moving? And it's, I think it's a really interesting program that, and we give you some tips on moving and packing and things you should do and you should look for when you hire a mover, or if you're moving yourself, some things you should do.
I think one of the things that you said in a quote that I read here, that moving ranks just below death and divorce is one of life's most traumatic transitions, and you're absolutely correct. People, you know, when you're going to move, when you're selling your house and you're leaving, and it's so traumatic. I've done it a couple times, and you just say to yourself, I don't want to do this ever again.
Absolutely. You know, and it's one of those things that's funny. We moved, my wife and I, Deborah Roberts, you know, we moved, gosh, I guess it was 3 years ago, and I was so much different about the move than Deborah was. I'm not sentimental, mm-hmm. about a lot of stuff. And I think it's a difference between men and women. I mean, men can be pack rats, but I was one of these people who said, you know, look, we're moving. This is an opportunity to clean out, you know, what I don't need. And that was what I did, whereas Deborah pretty much moved everything she had, and so it just all got moved with her, and it was like, oops.
You mentioned Deborah, of course, she's with ABC. Is there any tension between NBC and ABC in that household?
No, you know, it's interesting, because we're one of those people who we do different stuff. You know, we're she's a hard news person, and I'm kind of the fun weather guy. So it's not one of those things where, you know, we're competing for the same things.
Mm. But she might, she must be rooting though for the ABC show in the morning though.
Well, you know, it's interesting because she is appearing on that now. And so that's going to be kind of interesting. You know, I want her to succeed, just not too well.
Exactly. And just enough to kind of hurt some of the other shows, not
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, let them take people away from
the CBS one.
The CBS Early Show.
There you go. Now, you have two sons, two daughters and a son, right?
Yes.
Any of them showing signs of showbiz? And
well, my oldest girl, Courtney, has a tremendous singing voice. And, in fact, every time I hear her, I forget how good she is. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's coming out of my daughter's mouth.
How old is she?
And she's 18, uh-huh. She'll be a senior in high school this year, and my next girl is 6 and a half, and she talks about wanting to be a veterinarian or a ballerina,
uh-huh.
And my 3 year old, you know, wants to basically play with Dora the Explorer. So
now, your oldest daughter, have you thought about giving her a slot and trying to, you know, get her on the show or?
No, you know, it's first of all, she's somewhat shy, even though she's. She gets on stage and she's fabulous, but she is. My wife had arranged. I had a 50th birthday last year, and she arranged through a friend as a tremendous favor. And I'm such a big fan of his. Tony Bennett sang a couple of songs at my birthday party. But my daughter followed Tony Bennett and sang an Alicia Keys song, "Without You, I'm Nothing." And I said to her later, I said, you know, sweetie, not too many kids can say that Tony Bennett opened for them.
So, you know, for folks out there who are fans of Alan, and I don't see why you wouldn't be, because he does so many things and he does them so much down to earth, but your website's great. It's great. It really captures you, alroker.com.
Thank you.
Very humorous. The cartoons are great. I did not realize you were a cartoonist as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things I inherited from my dad. He was a very good artist, and commercial artist, really. And at the time, he couldn't get a job as a commercial artist, because unfortunately, at the prevailing time, an African American male couldn't get into the union. So he drove a bus, but he always enjoyed art. And one of the things, I was not a great athlete growing up. I was a little bit of a spaz, and But he knew that I loved animation and cartoons, and he just, anything he could do to encourage that, he did. And so that's one of those things that, you know you got genetically from one of your parents.
What's the chances of Roker Productions coming up with some kind of animated program?
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. And in fact, we are exploring that right now. And you know, which is very exciting about the show, having the production company. We produce another show for the Food Network called Roker on the Road, which airs Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, and then a companion show that follows that called Recipe for Success. A young man named Eric McClendon hosts, and it's people who are looking to change their life through food, you know, food dreams, starting a business, things like that. We produce a show for the Fine Living Network called Sheila Bridges Designer Living. We're doing a couple of specials for the History Channel. You know, we just a number of things that we produce a series of documentaries for Court TV, investigative documentaries. So it's a fun. It gives you a chance to do things that you normally wouldn't get to do in the confines of the Today Show. And that's not to say, I mean, I'm very fortunate because they let me do a lot of different things on the Today Show as well.
Right.
So, you know, it's fun kind of being the producer, you have a greater appreciation for the people who, I have a much greater appreciation for the people I work for at NBC because I know now on a smaller scale what they go through.
Now, food permeates your life as it does some of the shows that you're doing, and you became a national, you know, example of the bypass operation. How's your health, and how are you feeling? And
my health is great. I feel really good. But as I've always stressed in every interview I do, I don't want to be a spokesperson for gastric bypass. I did it, and I shared my story only because, people really wanted to know what happened and how did I lose this weight, and I felt some obligation to share that.
Right.
But I also point out that it is a dangerous operation. 1 in 200 people die from it every year. And in fact, the number will probably go up as more people look to have this, and more importantly, or more dangerously, more surgeons get involved who don't have the experience in doing it and are looking to make a quick buck on it, because there's no board certification for gastric bypass surgery. It is just, all you have to do is have a hospital that will allow you to do it if you're a surgeon, and you can perform gastric bypass surgery. But it's one of those things that, you know, if you're looking into it, make sure it's somebody who has done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah, I know that, you know, the caution is warranted. I know many people who've had it done, and none of them had problems, really, of long term. And they're a lot healthier now than they were before. But there was also something I read about people who are trying to go, like, to Mexico to have it done. And,
sure, because, a lot of people, any surgeon that would do it to you, if you don't have, if you're not, several things, if you're not 100 pounds overweight, at least 100 pounds overweight, and you don't have some comorbidities, whether it's diabetes or hypertension or something like that. And so there are people who, still want it, and so they, we'll go to Mexico or other places where the standards of burden of proof, if you will, of meeting these certain specifications aren't as stringent.
Mm. Now, folks, I wanted to ask you about your relationship with Larry O'Toole, who's the president of Gentle Giant. I would assume that he's become an integral part of the show and is helping you along in terms of booking the people who are involved and
yes.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a very nice man, and is one of these people that Well, I won't say he treats every client like family, but you get the impression, what I feel is that he cares about not only the people who are being moved, but he cares about his movers. And I think the quality and the caliber of the people who work for him is representative of what he thinks of the people who are being moved.
Well, he's a man who understands that if you take care of your people, they'll stay and they'll do a good job for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually hired a company called Capital Movers years ago. Don't think they're in business anymore. I doubt it, but they might be, who moved my house when I moved over to my present location. And I had two beautiful marble tables, which they smashed in pieces when they moved. And when I tried to collect, they became scarce.
So they weren't quite so careful.
They were far from careful. I mean, you know, it was a misnomer from the beginning. But again, you have to be really careful about who you hire for these kind of things. Some people, you know, get stolen things, and you never know what's going to happen if you don't use a good mover.
Wow.
So I assume that many of these people we're going to see on this show, you're going to see them, you're going to get to know them a little bit.
Yes.
I know that the first show has Ruth, who's a painter, who spent 25 years in a loft in downtown Boston.
Yes.
And then ends up moving to Gloucester, which is
That's
a beautiful
right.
place.
And I think, you know, she and her husband have some issues about, you know, what's going to get moved. And now, was Careful Movers there in the Bay, in the Boston area?
Yes, yeah. That's why, you know, if Gentle Giant does a great job here, which I assume they will, you know, that's going to get them a lot of business probably to the show.
Wow. Well, you know, that's, I think that's the, you know, look, one of the dangers, and I think Larry has done a wonderful job, is you know, you can't expand too much because then what you were changes.
Right.
I think he may be actually getting ready to expand into the New York area. And in fact, one of the moves is somebody moving from New York to the Boston region. I think he's an unusual individual in that there is a genuine caring about, you know, both his clients and the people who work for him.
Are all 10 weeks already recorded?
Yeah, they're all done. They've been, and we're hoping that it's a big success. The show's a big success, and that we'll do another season of moving in Boston.
That'd be kind of cool. I was thinking those things.
And as you know, and anybody who lives in the Boston area knows, you know, it's a very unique area. You know, it being, you know, the streets are, especially in Boston itself, the streets are more narrow, and there's so much history in Boston. I think you could make an argument that there's probably no greater place per square inch in this country that is steeped in American history than Boston.
Mm. I kind of agree. I've lived here all my life with a short stay in California and in Wisconsin. And Boston's a very unique area,
yeah,
to say the least. Here's what I was thinking. I didn't realize you had them all recorded, but for next year, maybe if everything's so smooth, and I assume all these moves are pretty smooth.
Well, there are some moments of drama.
So they're gonna drop some furniture and break stuff.
Well, you know, I don't want to give anything away, and I don't want to. But you know, it's not every move. There are tensions and conflicts that exist on both sides of the moving truck. So,
yeah, I just want to see something break. And I think that if it doesn't naturally, then maybe next season you can just stick out a leg.
You start busting stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, just stick out a leg and trip someone. It would be kind of cool to watch something go down.
Wow.
But every Thursday at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Home Channel, you can watch. It's a great show called Make Your Move. And I asked for a screener, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm assuming it's good, though.
Yeah, it's
because you're behind it.
That's what you should assume. It's going to be spectacular television. Call your friends and neighbors. Make sure they watch.
Now, you and I also have something else in common. We're both fathers.
Ah.
And you've got a book out called Big Shoes and Celebrations of Dads and Fatherhood.
Yes.
Of course, I don't have that either. But you would think that the publicist would send all these things to me.
I apologize. I'll make sure they can.
But you know, here's the thing, though. It sounds like a wonderful idea. And as someone who had a father who unfortunately passed away very young, and now who is a father to two children, a boy and a girl, you know, you see what your father did for you, and you try to do the good things that they did and try to avoid the bad things when you're doing your own kids. It's an amazing thing, and you talk to a number of celebrities about their dads, and I think that just some of the quotes I've seen here are pretty telling.
You know, I got to talk to a fairly eclectic group of people, from Jimmy Buffett to Kelly Ripa to Matt Lauer and Katie Couric and Ann Curry and Conan O'Brien and Jon Stewart, Chris Christopherson, B.D. Wong, Donald Trump. just and what comes through is that, and just as you said, you know, a lot of folks are very, you know, very grateful to their fathers for the good things they did, and even out of the things that they thought could have been better, or maybe, you know, they weren't so good at, it was a learning experience for them. And for the women, and at first I wasn't going to even do women and their dads, I was going to do more fathers and sons, but my wife convinced me to say, look, you know what, a lot of what we end up, the person we end up marrying is either somebody who we just love the qualities in that person that remind them of their father, or, you know, we want to try to find somebody who maybe didn't have the same qualities that were negative, and we want to try to avoid that. And so, and all the women that I interviewed in the book, you know, all said to a person that the person they married embodied the qualities that they loved in their father.
Mm. That's a frequent thing, but I think one thing that comes out in what I've seen about the book, and I assume it comes out in the book, is that many people, when you're born, you bond with mom first.
Sure.
But it seems to me like many people, boys and girls, as they get older, the father relationship gets, you know, just sustained even a higher level, and it becomes pivotal in their lives as they get older.
Well, I think, you know, you look at nurturing from your mother, and this is obviously a generalization, but you look for strength and kind of that solidity from your father. And in fact, a number of the, if you will, the profits from the book, a portion of the profits goes to the National Fatherhood Initiative, which is about strengthening the father bond, the father-son, father-daughter bond, about helping men be fathers to their children.
Mm.
And, you know, there's, because so much research has been done on mothers and their kids. But, you know, the father influence is, you know, something that is just now really being explored.
I think Gayle King's quote says a lot. It says, I think a girl who doesn't have a good relationship with her father has such a disadvantage in life, because fathers can give you self-esteem and confidence in yourself.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. I worked with an editor, a woman by the name of Amy Rennert. I would do the interviews, and then she would take them and turn them into essays. And I'm really pleased with how it came out, and it hit the New York Times bestseller list, and I'm hoping it's one of those things that'll be a perennial, that every Father's Day people can pick it up and take a look.
That'd be a good thing. You know, one of the things about in the urban areas, there's a lot written about the fact that many of the families don't have fathers.
Right.
Is there something that's geared toward that in the book as well?
No, I think I think it cuts across all lines, and I think anybody who picks it up is going to come away with a sense of why fatherhood is so important, what it means, and hopefully that inspires some people.
That's, by the way, from, I'm trying to look and see what the publisher is on that.
Oh, it's Hyperion.
Okay, because I don't have that here. But it's available, and again, all this stuff is at alroker.com. You can get on there, and you will actually get quite a bit of laughs on the site as well.
Oh, thank you.
To know Al Roker a little bit better. Al, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
my pleasure.
Good luck with everything.
All righty, you too. Take care. Have a great summer.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.